This show is supported by State Farm. You have insurance for your home, your health, and your car. Why don't you have insurance for your small business? So many small business owners think they don't need or don't even know about small business insurance. Protecting a source of revenue is one thing, but so is protecting all of your hard work and your team members. State Farm agents are all small business owners too, so they know how to help small business owners choose personalized policies that fit their budgets. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hello and welcome to the HP Podcast. This is episode Who Knows, because I don't keep track. With me here today is Brandon.
Hey, what's up?
And Brandon is all I need to be happy.
That's right.
Dave is getting married or something, and not today. He's not getting married today on a Tuesday, but he is getting married soon after, oh man, he's had like his wedding date pushed back because of COVID like three or four times, I think.
Yeah, that'll do it.
He's got a tasting, so Dave's not able to make it, and Phil is out of town. So it's just Brandon and I just hanging out, being boys.
That's right.
What's up, dude?
Not too much, man. Just chilling. Had some Firehouse subs earlier.
Yeah, which you was just delicious. Burped, and I think we got a little whiff of it.
Yeah, we all got a taste of it in the room, all two of us.
Yeah.
And no, it's good as always, slightly more expensive than I would hope, but that's life.
Why do you think that Firehouse subs is more expensive? Because I don't feel like their ingredients are necessarily superior to other sub joints.
I think they just...
can be.
Pack on the meat a little bit more, maybe. Mm. I don't know, I feel like that's more forward-facing. More meat, the better. The meat always costs you. Always.
I mean.
The meat always costs you.
I mean, that's true. That's true.
And I mean, that's just kind of a blanket statement.
Yeah.
But no, it was really good. I had the Hook and Ladder. I don't know if that's like a U.S. chain.
Firehouse
what the fuck
subs?
That is.
I think Firehouse subs exist outside the U.S.
Does
but
it?
I don't know for sure.
Well, I've had it a couple times. I'd give it like a sideways thumb. If you're
sideways
feeling
thumb.
It, yeah.
Would,
I don't give it a thumbs
would
up.
Would the thumb be like slightly tilted up or slightly tilted down on the sideways? Or is it straight across?
Straight across.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know Subway isn't good.
Oh, it's awful.
We all know that.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it enough that for $5, for literally half the price, for a bigger sandwich.
Yeah.
If I'm going to get a sub, especially if I'm ordering for like the whole family.
No, exactly.
It's worth it to me. But it's still trash.
See, there has never been a restaurant or chain that I've been to that has been more inconsistent than Subway.
Yes.
I feel like it entirely depends somehow. The same ingredients.
Yes.
It entirely depends on who the fuck is making the sandwich.
Yes.
Because the one near where I work, I've actually stopped going to it.
Yeah.
Have you ever gotten the chicken teriyaki there?
It has been years, but yes, I did.
I don't want to really dive too deep into it, but you're supposed to mix, you know, the chicken with the sauce, and then it's covered in the sauce. The last time I ordered it there, the guy put a bunch of just fresh out of the package, plain-ass chicken, and then dumped the teriyaki sauce, which is not how it's intended.
Right.
It's like a sauce
it's
that's supposed
God,
to be...
It's not how God intended it.
It's supposed to be lightly coating the outside. But a couple of my bites were completely filled with pure Subway teriyaki.
Ooh.
And
that could be really good or really bad.
In this case, it was not Ben, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going back.
Man.
I just can't.
I feel like there's a Subway downtown here, down where we live. And I feel like, one, I go in there and it's like, I know some of the people who I've seen working there. And I don't want them to serve me food.
To touch you food.
Like, I don't know them, but I know who they are.
Yeah.
And then there's other times I go in and it's like, the person seems very competent until it gets to the part where they cut the sandwich.
Yeah.
And then it's like, they barely touch it with the knife.
Yeah.
Then they rip the other half of the sandwich to get it to cut because they can't get the knife to work. And those knives are sharp.
Oh, yeah.
And for whatever reason, it's like, you know, they wrap it in like... It's like they take it and put it inside their shoe to get it wrapped.
And then punch it.
And then punch it. Yeah. And then like more of the stuff that's supposed to be inside the sub is outside of it.
Yeah.
So maybe that's the maybe that's what the extra $5 is for at the Firehouse.
Honestly, now that we're saying it out loud, I think we might have figured it out.
Yeah.
Because at its worst, I don't think Firehouse can get that bad. Anyway, no. This isn't a philosophical talk about subs.
No, but this is what this show's all about. And in case anybody was wondering, we have rebranded. HP now stands for the Handsome
Hoagie Podcast.
Phantom Subways. this is the HP Podcast, your weekly video game podcast from Handsome Phantom. And we just want to give a thank you to everybody who listens, to all of our patrons out there. If you don't know, we are fan-supported on Patreon. Just, we really appreciate that support. People can get early access, ad-free access to the show by heading over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. You can sign up for $1 or more a week or a month and get free access to the show, get a special role in our Discord, and our eternal love, support, and thankfulness. Now, I say support, but we won't actually do anything for you.
We'll cheer you on in the Discord.
That's right.
If you need.
Yeah. And like if you have like a YouTube channel or something, I probably would subscribe and then turn off alerts.
We'll check it out. Yeah. I don't know that we're going to be ringing any bells, but we'll check it out.
No, that bell's not getting rung. This isn't Taco Bell or Long John Silver's or whoever has that nowadays. Speaking of Discord, you can head over to handsomephantom.com/discord to be ushered into the presence of the glorious Ginger. The most glorious Ginger.
Let's go, baby.
As a matter of fact.
It's your boy.
Brandon, I want to talk about some video games.
Let's do it, man.
Okay. You brought this up to me before the show, and I already had it in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberpunk 2077.
Yes, sir.
The hottest, newest, most functional game to ever exist.
Yes.
From famed developer CD Projekt Red.
Small little ditty.
Small, just little indie studio. Yeah. Actually, technically, they are an indie studio,
technically,
I guess.
Sure.
They're coming back to the PlayStation Store.
I heard that.
Yeah, so they removed them
yep.
after the disastrous launch.
Abruptly. This sort of thing, especially for this caliber of game, does not happen often. Mm-mm. And I am positive that they have released games and left them on the store that have been more broken than this one.
But none of them nearly as popular.
True.
Or have drawn as much ire.
Fair.
Okay, so let me read this article. It's from Forbes. Paul Tassi wrote this article. It says, just over 6 months after Sony removed Cyberpunk 2077 from the... Dude, first of all, let's stop there. How has that been 6 months ago?
It really doesn't feel like it. Time is strange.
Time is a concept.
Time is a flat circle.
Remove Cyberpunk from the PlayStation Store after its disastrous launch, and it was disastrous. The game has been restored and is available for purchase once again, despite Sony saying the original decision to take Cyberpunk down was because of the game's poor performance. In bringing it back, they are saying outright that they do not recommend the game on PS4 due to poor performance. So, there's a couple things here. First, one of the things on the actual store page on PlayStation, it says, important notice, users continue to experience performance issues with this game. Purchase for use on PS4 systems is not recommended.
Okay.
For the best Cyberpunk experience on PlayStation, play on PS4 Pro and PS5 systems. Now, there was a lot of discussion when the PS4 Pro came out about, well, hopefully we don't just start seeing PS4 Pro games.
Yeah.
And we really didn't. We saw games that were better or mostly just better on PS4 Pro.
Yeah.
But they were playable on PS4 base.
Exactly.
What do you think this says about Sony's acknowledgement of their systems or of the game?
I think that the voices were so loud for this game specifically that it made them hard to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's one thing Sony recognizes, it's when you're fucking with their money.
Yes.
And I think that had a lot to do with it. Probably the majority of what to do with it.
Yeah.
And I think that because of the hype surrounding this game, I would say that even if it was a game of this caliber and it was any other developer almost,
yeah,
like if Ubisoft put out this game, do you know how many broken ass games have come out on PS4 for Ubisoft?
All of them.
All of the Assassin's Creed's almost at launch. You know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like, I don't want to say it was unfair because I think it's unfair that they released the game.
Yeah.
That's what is first and foremost in my mind. To the players on PS4, most of the players on the Sony platform have PS4s.
Right.
I think that was
120 million.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think that was unfair of CD Projekt Red, but I also think it was kind of a little bit drastic and quick for Sony to just kind of rip the carpet from out underneath. And I think that had a lot to do with the fans, really. Yeah. I think that...
We've talked about this before, but I also think it had something to do... I think them actually removing it had less to do with the fact that it ran like shit.
Right.
And at least a little bit to do with the fact that CD Projekt was like, if you want a refund, just ask for the for it from the PlayStation
ask
store.
Ask for Sony. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a big problem. And I mean, I don't blame them. Have you seen reporting on the PS4 version and how a lot of the citizens are missing and the pop-in is heinous, even though it is working better?
I haven't.
It's at a very, very, very minimal capacity from what I've read on Twitter.
I kind of stopped caring about it after the 746th news story that I read about it.
Seriously.
Even though it was one of my most anticipated games for last year. And I have access to it on PC, so I don't really... I haven't played it. I'm waiting for it to like be the best version of itself kind of now. But
and honestly, I'm going to pop back in.
Yeah.
But I am 100% waiting for the PS5 patch.
Yeah.
And I would not be surprised if there's a new resurgence of players after the PS5 patch. Because I feel like...
Oh, yeah.
They got to get this one right. And I feel like... Is it safe to say that most of their players are on console? Does that sound right?
I would say... I don't know that to be definitely the case, but that seems...
Yeah.
Close to right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm going to sink my teeth back in whenever we get to that point. I have zero desire to play it as of now.
And you played, just for the audience, you played it on PS5.
On PS5, right. Correct. So I even played it the best possible way.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, with everything coming out, if the worst version of the game is still being said to not be that great, I don't really know that it's time yet.
Yeah.
And I think that because Sony was so drastic the first time when pulling it, I feel like they had to say something before they put it back on.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't have just put it back on and said nothing. They didn't, you know, cause if it happened again, what are they going to pull it again? They look like even bigger assholes. You know what I mean?
Well, and here's my problem is that they're going to hide behind this little warning notice that says that you shouldn't play it on PS4 whenever people buy it on PS4 or already have it.
Exactly.
And they're going to say, well, we warned you not to play it. But I just don't feel like that's acceptable. Like, if that was going to be the case and they knew it was a bad experience, then maybe they should lock you out from buying it if you're buying it on a PS4.
Yeah.
If you're buying it digitally.
It's like they care, but not that much.
No.
You know what I mean? It was bad enough the first time around for them to pull it. And is it good enough now that they can put it back on, or did the heat die down?
Dustin and I...
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Dustin and I were at Target, I think, when we went to buy it. We went for like lunch and got Ratchet and Clank, and we were just looking through the game section like we always do.
Yeah.
And there were dozens of physical copies at Target for PS4.
That really makes me sad. Yeah. And I've already talked about how sad the entire thing has made me, so I'm not retreading that. But, man, things could have been different.
Yeah.
They really could have been. And in addition to that, I actually just saw today that they are actually extending their return policy as well.
PlayStation is.
Microsoft.
Okay.
No, wait.
I thought Microsoft was like... Somebody... I think it's PlayStation is ending their refund policy for it.
Oh, no, wait.
I just saw a tweet.
Oh, no, you're right. Microsoft is ending the refund policy as well. So everyone's kind of just like saying...
Buyer beware.
Yeah.
At this point.
Essentially, at this point, it's like a disclaimer. You know, I mean, it's out here in the public that Sony has said, hey, we wouldn't recommend it. Microsoft has said, hey, we're no longer accepting refunds. And so at this point, I guess the studio, you know, Microsoft and Sony are just saying... If you want to get it, but at your own risk type situation, I guess.
Man. Yeah. And I mean, if you don't like the performance on it, you could always play Avengers, you know, which has way better performance.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Damn.
Has not been taken off the store. Okay, so there's a lot there we could go into, but I'm just so tired of talking about Cyberpunk at this point.
Honestly, we've talked so much about it, and I feel like we always just say the same things over and... If there was infinite time, maybe.
Right.
But, yeah, that's enough.
Here's a story that's especially topical. GTA Online for PS3 and Xbox 360 will be shut down on December 16th.
How many people you think on PS3 have been rocking no PlayStation Plus from day one and have nonstop been playing free internet?
Oh, crap. I didn't even think about
that, though. People on PS3. I bet you that's... I wouldn't say it's a large base.
Yeah.
But on PS3 specifically, how many people are still playing online games for free on that system?
That's a great question.
And with GTA being such a huge online game, I would imagine that would actually hit the PS3 community way more than it would hit the 360 community at this point. If I had to guess.
You're right.
So
here's the article from Rockstar Games, directly from the horse's mouth, as we say. Oh, wait, this isn't Red Dead Redemption. This is...
From the car's...
From the car's muffler. As we continue to move forward with updates and support for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC versions of Grand Theft Auto Online, as well as prepare for this fall's launches of the new expanded and enhanced versions of Grand Theft Auto 5 and Grand Theft Auto Online on PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. Well, that's a heck of a sentence right there. That's not even over yet.
Really?
The PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 versions of GTA Online, including website stat tracking via the Rockstar Games Social Club, will officially be shutting down on December 16, 2021. In addition, shark cards for GTA Online will no longer be sold for the PS3 and Xbox 360 versions after September 15th, 2021. Now, this goes on to say, like, this is only for these consoles. This won't affect the story mode of Grand Theft Auto 5. And then they're also letting us know that the website stat tracking for not only these, but also the leaderboards and everything for Max Payne 3 and LA Noire for the PS3 and 360 versions are coming down, which I guess they didn't figure anybody cared about those two games enough. Now, here's the thing I'm thinking. One, we know... It's just time, right? It's just time.
Right.
So that's fine. Two, there must be some fan base on there still. Or else they wouldn't. I mean, they would have taken them down a long time ago.
You would think.
And I would imagine that, I don't know what this threshold is, but these companies have to be able to say, like, in order for us to justify keeping these up, there needs to be at least X amount of players still involved in the community.
Right.
Here's the thing that really makes me wonder, specifically about the PS3 versions. They're shutting down the PS3 store as far as, like, you won't be able to make new transactions. If your game has microtransactions, you won't be able to purchase them through PS3 or Vita.
Right.
I don't know about the 360 entirely. I'm sure the 360 is a totally different situation. So, and that's happening in July, I think, at the end of July.
Okay.
So from the end of July till the end of the year, are people who are playing on the PS3, they're not getting any revenue from those people at all?
You can buy physical shark cards.
That's true.
That would be the only way you'd be able to.
And if you're playing on a PS3, you probably are still buying physical shark cards.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's the demographic probably. Yeah, writes out checks in their checkbook too.
When I saw this story, I immediately thought of your dad, because as we've talked about on the show, he's a huge Grand Theft Auto fan.
Yes, sir.
But your dad is also a proud PS5 owner.
Oh, yes, he is now.
So this doesn't affect him
He is in the elite.
I wonder if he has any buddies who still play on PS3.
I don't think.
No.
Yeah, I think, I don't even know if he had the game on PS3. I think he just bought it on PS4.
Hmm.
So
it came out just shortly before the PS4 launched, didn't it?
Yeah, because I remember specifically there was a trade-in deal from Target.
Okay.
I traded in my 360 version of the game physically.
Yeah.
I gave them my game.
Yeah.
And for like $20, they gave me the PS4 version.
That ain't a bad deal.
Or something like that. Yeah, it was cheap. I was like, obviously. I'm going to get it on my new console.
And now you get free upgrades, usually.
Now you get free upgrades. That's right. How the times have changed.
That's actually something I hadn't... Usually when, like, there's a news story that, like, this game's going to have a free upgrade, it's like, yeah, of course it will. That's just obvious.
Right.
But that wasn't the case before this generation.
No, definitely not. I feel like as much as we want to complain about the upgrades and them costing, it certainly has not always been that way.
Yeah.
There's been many games, I'm sure. GTA is the only one I've done.
Right.
The upgrade like that. But
so when I think about, like... We, and by we, I mean the culture at large, maybe not you and I specifically,
right,
complain about a $10 upgrade if you want to upgrade. That's pretty good.
I will take a $10 upgrade.
Yeah.
I have a problem when I can't get an upgrade.
Yes.
Like Final Fantasy Remake.
Yes. Oh, that's, yeah.
You gave me the free version.
Right.
I will pay $20 to upgrade it.
Right.
Just let me do it.
Right.
And I may be wrong. Flame me in the Discord if you want, but I don't think there is a way for me to upgrade my free version.
I think you are still correct on that.
Okay.
I know we talked about that a couple weeks ago, and then I got really curious and started Googling around.
Yeah, because I legitimately think I will like this game. But if I'm playing on my PS5, I'm not rebuying the game when you already gave it to me for free.
Yeah. That makes me wonder, though, why they made that decision. Because, see, if I'm playing the PS4 version that I got for free, and I really like it, chances are I'm going to want, if I have a PS5, I'm going to want to upgrade it. But if you make it so that I can't upgrade it, there's a pretty low chance that I'm going to spend, what is it, $60-$70?
Seriously?
On the PS5 version. Yeah. If you gave me the $20 upgrade, I probably would buy it on that.
And listen, this is so easy. This is so easy. Didn't they just have a DLC come out?
Yes.
Buy the DLC, you get the upgrade for free.
Yeah.
You sell more of your DLC, you get the upgrade.
That's a good point.
Why not?
And there's more content there for
the players. That's what I'm saying. It makes sense. But no, I think it's about time, honestly, to loop back around to the GTA conversation. And I genuinely wonder if now that big companies are doing this, now that Rockstar is doing this, if this will open a floodgates of a massive dump of companies just completely sending their old versions of online out to sea.
Yeah.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I mean, once one starts, a lot of companies follow what other companies do.
Right.
That just is the way it is.
I can't see anybody being too upset about this, right? When did the PS3 come out? 2007-ish?
It's about time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, it's about time.
Yeah.
So, in fact, I'm surprised they're even up now.
That's true.
To be honest, I wouldn't have even been surprised if late in the next gen cycle they got rid of them. So,
here's something I didn't think about until just now, but obviously, we think the primary thing is these games aren't making enough money to justify their servers on these devices.
Right.
And that's certainly, I'm sure, part of it.
100%.
But the game has been updated a billion times, and it's going to get another huge update soon. I don't know anything about how this actually works. This is just speculation. When do you get to the point where we can't update the graphics or the types of missions or whatever in GTA specifically, let's talk about.
Right.
We can't update them anymore because we're being so far held back by those old consoles. They can't do what even the base PS4
right.
can do.
I think that's the question CD Projekt Red had when they were trying to develop for PS4.
Yeah.
it's like, how far can we break this game and make it such a small portion of what it's truly is supposed to be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the best option.
No.
I think at some point you just have to let it go and cut your losses, because right. I guarantee your losses from that, I could be wrong. There could be like a massive spike in GTA hate because of the PS3 being taken off.
But I haven't seen any.
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
I highly, highly doubt it.
Then again, like, I feel like in my general everyday life, and that, you know, the PS5's out now, the Xbox X and S is out, but there are obviously still a lot of people out there playing on the PS3 and the Xbox 360.
100%, yeah.
We know there's a ton of people playing on last-gen consoles, the PS4.
The majority of people.
Yeah. The majority, yeah. But I all the time do, like, talk to people, and, you know, it comes up, oh, what do you like to do? And it's like, oh, I like to play video games. Oh, well, what kind of video games do you like? Oh, I just got an old PS2. I sometimes throw in the NBA 20, yeah. 2007 yeah. on or whatever. They're probably, even though they're not, like, they're not their priority customer, right? But there are probably way more people than we think still playing on super old consoles every day.
Dude, it makes me think about the future, too, because I say, with the advances in technology, who's to say that in 10 years, PS5 servers won't still be up? Will it matter at that point? Will it be so low cost that in 10 years I could play Cold War or Warzone?
Yeah.
The old version, it just makes you think.
That's a good point.
And it's an interesting time because, you know, as we see the advancement in technology, this specific type of issue is something that has happened before. I mean, certainly servers have shut down like crazy, but it's more rampant because the market is so much larger. I mean, there's so many more games. There's so many more. Everything has an online. So It's going to affect somebody no matter what.
In 10 years, they may actually have a hard drive big enough to support Warzone, you know?
Literally. Dude, goddamn. I was just fucking complaining to Dustin about that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much more of it I could take.
Yeah.
And I don't, as a PS5 owner, dude,
right.
I had to delete a game that I wanted to play, not now, but I was gonna, like, I'm gonna beat this in the next week, and I had to delete it to make room for Warzone.
Right.
It's out of hand.
Well, that kind of leads a little bit into another news story that I don't know. It's speculation here. Well, let's just get into it. The PS blog, the PlayStation blog, reports that you can sign up for the first PS5 system software beta program.
I saw that.
I got an invite for it.
Did
in my
you?
Email, yeah. But they also put it on their blog.
That concerns me a little bit, though.
It does. Let me read the article
real
quick.
Go ahead, go ahead.
And then, so since the launch of PS5, our teams have been working on continuously enhance your experience on the console. Later this year, we're rolling out another major system update packed with new features, and we want your help testing them out. Yada, yada, yada. You can register here, etc. You'll, of course, need a PS5 console with an internet connection.
Sorry, man.
Yeah, I know. You'll be added to the potential pool for future PS5 system software betas automatically without having to register again. And then after the beta begins, you can restore your system software to the latest official release version before the beta program ends. They talk about their last update and everything. But so just so you know, if that's out there, if you want to be part of that, if you like the way your console is running currently and want to be, and you like beta testing and stuff like that, that's on the PlayStation blog. I'm sure a Google search would help you find it. But, Brandon, why does it concern you?
Well, I have never personally been a part of these beta programs. But I know Dustin has.
Yeah.
And not on PlayStation, but on iPhone.
Yes.
And I've seen firsthand some of the, is a little dramatic, but the devastation that it's caused.
Yes. I've also been part of them.
Yeah. So that is completely dependent on what they consider a beta. So I guess it would, literally, I think my mind will be swayed whether to sign up for this after the first one rolls out, if it's right. still an option. Because if it seems like it's a beta in the sense that it's not completely buggy, it doesn't brick my console, my games aren't crashing, that's great.
Right.
I would love to test out new features. But whenever you start to get into this space, I feel like you're kind of testing the water a little bit.
Yeah.
And especially so close to issues my dear friend Ben, you have been having with your own console.
That's right.
That concerns me a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think that what else has not been ironed out?
Well, I think it was a little bit telling, and some of this was just, it wasn't functionality, it was just features. But when the PS4 came out, I want to say it was it 9 months or a year before they rolled out the first software firmware update?
I didn't actually get mine at launch.
Okay, I didn't either.
I got mine, like, I think the Christmas after or something like that.
Yeah. So either way, though, it was a while. Like, it took a little while before they actually rolled it out. And this one was less than, I want to say, like, maybe like 4 or 5 at most months, because it's only been out like 7 months.
Yeah, it hasn't been that long. No.
So they roll out the first one. And don't get me wrong, I think rolling out new firmware updates as you find out that they are needed and they're stable is a good thing.
Right.
There's a couple things that I find interesting about this. First of all, this is the first public program you could sign up for. That doesn't mean on the last one they didn't have public involved. But it kind of seems a little bit like, well, we just did this other one in-house and tested it on some machines we had in the back room and then rolled it out to everybody.
Yeah.
Which we haven't seen, or maybe we have. We haven't seen gigantic problems specifically from the firmware, but that's just really interesting that they didn't do a public time trial, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the idea is that now as people are getting their hands on them, just to get it out. I mean, that's the whole idea of the beta test, is to get it out to as many people as possible. But yeah, I just can't get that concern out of my head. I really can't.
Right.
I think that the software itself that came on the PS5 is pretty good. The functionality is decent. There's a lot of room for improvement. So I want to check out the new shit.
Right.
But I also don't want my software to be worse than it already is potentially. Yeah. So that's like the biggest tell for me.
Yeah, I think you got to really be a tinker-minded person, or at least someone who like if my console, which I don't even have right now because Sony has it. But let's say you have a console that's been running perfectly, you never had a single issue, never had a single crash.
Right.
Sure, why not do it? But anybody who's a little trepidatious about Sony's support on these devices,
right?
Why would you want to sign up for something a little more unstable? I mean, that's just the way betas are in general.
Right.
Like you're,
right.
You know, you're signing up for something imperfect. Yeah. I get it.
And that it intrigues me, yeah. And I want to do it, but I'm also a little scared.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially since it is the first public test.
I like being on the cutting edge, but I don't. There are too many issues right now with the PS5. Shout out to our mutual friend, Jimmy Champagne, who has a YouTube channel called PS Ready. I did a video, came out today, on some of the issues that PS5s are having. Dustin, and I were all talked about in the video with our issues. And of course, all the comments are already full of other people saying,
oh, yeah.
Or at first, either accusing them of being Xbox fanboys, which they're not, neither one, but, or saying, you know, I've had these exact problems and worse.
Yeah.
Problems you didn't even mention I'm having. So it doesn't seem like there's something I think wrong with the consoles, and whether that's hardware or firmware, software related, I don't know.
Hard to say.
But there's definitely a subsection of these consoles that there's something wrong with.
You know, you keep saying hardware, and that actually does really intrigue me, especially after the whole yellow light of death debacle.
Yes.
It really makes you wonder.
Yeah. And we're talking like every new hardware rollout, whether it's a phone or a camera or a TV or a PS5, there's going to be some percentage of them that fail.
100%.
It's just, it's impossible to have 100%
success rate. It happens. Literally with the internet now.
Yes.
You're going to know.
Right.
Literally, there could be a million fine, and the one bad one you're going to see. It's going to pop up on Reddit.
Absolutely.
But yeah, this thing sort of happens. I mean, I guess the idea is to just make it as small as possible. Make that percentage tiny.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the idea with the beta testing, but
yeah,
you just got to hope that they know what the fuck they're doing, I guess.
Well, that's a big hope.
Yeah.
This show is supported by State Farm. Insurance is a part of any solid financial plan. Making sure you have the important things in life covered is one of the best ways to give yourself a little breathing room when things go awry. It's important to protect not only your business, but yourself as a business owner and all current and future team members. State Farm agents know what it takes to run and protect a small business because State Farm agents are all small business owners and they live and work in your community. So they're deeply attuned to what's happening with other small businesses in your market. If you have a small business and are interested in making sure you're protected, reach out to your local State Farm agent to learn more about what you need. They'll help you find the right policy at the right price for your business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Speaking of people who know what they're doing, Epic.
Ooh-wee.
Before we get into the actual story here, Epic has just been like in the last 3 years-ish, I've just been continually impressed what they're doing.
I respect that company so much.
Yeah.
Seriously, I am incredibly turned off, and not that this is all they do, but right. Fortnite turns me off so bad, and I talked about it on a podcast for hours and hours before, and I don't even want to look at it anymore.
Right.
But what they've been doing,
we literally, for those who are new, because we have a lot of new people in the last year or so, for those who are new, we Handsome Phantom had a podcast which I don't even think is available anymore called Fly by Night, which was Brandon, Dustin, and I, where we started in season 4 of Fortnite right as and after it was hitting its big stride. And just, it was all about Fortnite. We just gushed about Fortnite. And now none of us can stand it. So go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Which I guess is kind of telling.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I don't know, man. They're just making moves that no other company are making.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And with the engine work they're doing.
Yes.
I've seen some of the new Epic engine trailer. Did you see the one with the big Goliath?
Yes.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
How good does that look?
It looks really good.
And, you know, I love when they lay out the functionality for the developers. Someone who's not a developer, they put it in a way that I can understand.
Right.
And, you know, just every facet of what they're doing has been incredible. I mean, between the licensing, like crazy, license after license after license. I mean, if you can write deals with this many other companies,
yep.
what games could they potentially, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Once you got your foot in that door, to say that they're going to make a Batman, you know, like a Superman, not to say that, because certainly there's other companies, I'm sure, that have their hand in that pod, but like, man, just, they're hitting it from all angles.
Well, Brandon, you just kind of struck a little chord in my brain. Like, we know they did the revenue split. They changed the revenue split if you use their engine. They changed the payout for the Epic Store. They kind of revolutionized the way that creators could get paid as far as the creator tags or whatever
and now,
they're called.
Look who's using that now.
Yeah.
Every game like it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. They change. I mean, they've done so many things. And down to, I mean, the thing we're going to talk about next, but one of the things I was just thinking about is we're talking about all these great things Epic's doing, and they've always been, you know, with Unreal and everything, they've always had, to some extent, that's how they make their money, really, is their engines.
But right.
It wasn't really until Fortnite. I mean, they had successes before that, but Fortnite really has enabled them to do a lot of this stuff now. But something I was just thinking about is, what is Epic's next game going to look like? Not the next game they sign or the next game they license or whatever. Epic could make, they can sink all the money they want to into the next huge blockbuster title.
Whatever, dude.
Wow.
Anything.
Shadow drop it.
And like I said, once again, just to restate, it's not like they're going to swoop a, you know, a big name from another company that's already working on something. But really, if you've started to negotiate some with these companies and they've been willing to work something out with you, you got to think that, that sort of thing continues. I mean, that's the way business typically works. Yeah. So.
Well, the story that started me thinking about all this is Epic basically has launched, and this is directly from their website. I'm just going to paraphrase everything. But Epic has launched services such as free in-game voice and easy anti-cheat.
Free into their engine?
Yes, into their engine.
Dude, literally.
For you to utilize.
Craziness, man.
So
who wouldn't want to build on this engine at this point?
Well, that's one thing for sure. Yeah, that's, absolutely.
Like, between the ease of development that I've seen, like, literally, I don't know, man. I feel like it's something to be said. What's the next game Epic's going to make? And what's the next game that's going to be released on Unreal?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like both of those equally excite me.
Yes.
So.
Well, so they develop the in-game voice that they're doing. They developed that specifically for Fortnite. And the easy anti-cheat, they may have had some version of it, if I remember correctly, beforehand. But they totally redid it for Fortnite because, you know, there was a huge hacking problem with Fortnite.
Like every game.
Like every game nowadays, yeah. But they basically have released this. And this came out either today or yesterday. Today's the 22nd, right? Yeah, today.
Yes.
They released this out to creators for free. So they can launch, operate, and scale. This is a quote. Launch, operate, and scale their games using any engine, store, or platform of their choice. So this isn't just for Unreal. They can use these services, and if they can incorporate them into the engine that they're using. And it's free. They don't have to pay a royalty. They don't have to buy the service. Now, as we have been told over and over and over and over and over, being Call of Duty fans, building an anti-cheat system is not easy or cheap or anything.
It's not easy.
Yeah. And I'm sure it's not.
We got more money than God. It's not easy.
Right. Yeah. Like,
you know, like,
you or I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
sure
certainly.
Even talented developers, it would take a lot of time for. But they're releasing this out there for free. And probably to some extent, they're hoping that that will engender people towards using Unreal.
Yeah.
And then reaping rewards for years after that. And if you do that, it's going to make it a better game.
Yeah. 100%.
Probably too, if you use them, you have to like put their logo at the front of your game or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But basically, like, you'll be able to incorporate whatever engine will support it. You'll be able to incorporate the easy anti-cheat with very minimal work, from what I'm understanding. I just read a little bit about it earlier today. It's pretty simple to incorporate. And the voice seems like something that's very easy. And we rag on Nintendo, rightfully so,
right,
all the time about how bad their internet stuff is and their voice stuff is.
Yeah.
But it, from what I understand, like, to make it actually work well is a lot of time and resources.
Yeah.
And typically what's happened in the past is you have to, like, you might have an engine that works well, but you still have to create these extra services on top of that. Specifically, we know that with anti-cheat.
Right.
It's a service that's really hard to make. But Epic's just like, hey,
for free.
Here, it's free.
Dude, I feel like Activision is like the evil timeline version of Epic.
Oh, man.
They just keep, Epic keeps giving.
Yeah.
And that's what I like. Mm-hmm. And that's why my faith in them has not been swayed thus far, is they keep producing, even if I don't like it.
Yeah.
They keep producing quality products and results.
Yes.
And they seem beneficial for everybody. Yes. They seem fair. And, you know, even these deals we're seeing where they're cutting with companies for the free games. I mean, we got all the stats with that. What was that, a couple months ago?
Yeah.
I mean, they're making money hand over fist, but, you know, they're not being greedy about it. I don't know. They probably are. But like,
oh, I'm sure in some way, shape, or form, but like the things they're doing in the industry right now are not things other publishers
are doing. They're shaking it up, man.
Yeah.
They're shaking it up. They're making it easier for games to be developed.
Right.
Which is nothing but good for everybody.
Right.
And yeah, man, it's just crazy.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out. Okay. So easy anti-cheat. And I was right about this earlier. Joined the Epic family in 2018. It's a well-established brand with nearly a decade experience servicing over 100 online PC games worldwide. I think that service specifically will only be available for PC still, but I'm sure, knowing Epic, they're going to fit. Not that many people are using hacks and stuff on console, but you have to imagine there are some out there.
Yeah, yeah, there's definitely some.
And the voice, I think, is going to be able to be used just whether it's console or PC.
Right.
So,
wow.
I mean, imagine not having to use PlayStation's voice chat.
Thank God.
To do in-game.
Dude, although the Discord app coming to PlayStation sometime, so I'm not too worried about the voice specifically. True. Now that Discord is coming to PlayStation, but anything to make it easy.
Well, we talked about that a couple months ago, a little bit on the show, but I'm wondering what that deal is going to look like, because Microsoft, Xbox right now has a deal. They're partnered with Discord in whatever way. But I think really the only integration is that Discord like will show on your status the game you're playing on your Xbox service.
Right.
And I'm wondering, I'm hoping it's more than, I would imagine it wouldn't be so far away. I'm hoping it's more than that for the PlayStation. I'm hoping that that actually has the voice integration and everything else. But I don't think we've seen actually any details.
No, there's been actually zero details from what I understand, other than the idea of it happening. And because it's so laid out, you would think that there would be an extensive dive into this. I mean, I can run the Spotify app during playing any game.
Right.
So why, in theory, could I not then run my Discord app and have a tab for it in my menu, just like the music app?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm hoping for, and I think that they know that's what fans want.
Right.
I mean, how many times have I been playing on my console and had an extra earbud in?
Right.
I mean, a lot of people do that. Yeah. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
So, I just think this adds a huge value.
Yes.
To the PlayStation family.
Right.
And I really hope they do it right. And it's not just some schmoozy, you know, tell me what you're playing type thing. Right. But it's hard to say at this point.
For sure. Okay, next up, and this one can be short or long, however we want it to go.
Okay.
EA, according to VideoGamesChronicle.com, EA will reportedly announce an established IP revival next month.
Oh, jeez.
And this comes by way of Jeff Grubb, who is a journalist over at GamesBeat, also has made kind of a name for himself by being an inside man, you know.
I was going to say, he's a leaky man. Is that correct?
And, okay. And, you know, take this with a grain of salt, but, like, a lot of his takes are right. A lot of them are wrong. So maybe this one's right or wrong. I would imagine this one sounds like something that EA would be doing. But basically, he has said that they are working on an established IP revival. And he says, I think you'll be happy. Now, I'm trying to figure out, the reveal was supposed to come today. And EA teased it last weekend or this past weekend. And is apparently going to be working on Dead Space. Now,
okay,
I was going to talk about, and we still can, what game we would like to see from EA or what game we thought maybe it would be. We could talk about Dead Space. I have almost zero experience with Dead Space.
Yeah, neither do I.
Okay, so
unfortunately.
Whatever. Yeah. I know Dead Space is a beloved franchise. Yeah. I think that's good if they do it right. Hopefully it's not just like a remaster or something, although they could probably make a lot of money from doing that. But I was just thinking about, like, first of all, EA has like bought and closed so many companies.
Dude, I was literally just about to say that when you don't. I was like, which one of the companies that they drugged behind the shed and shot in the forehead are they resurrecting?
Right.
Like which IP from which company are they bringing back to life?
Well, who made Dead Space? Wasn't it Visceral?
God almighty, I've never even played. Let me see.
I'm pretty sure Dead Space was Visceral, and they shut down Visceral in, oh, I want to say like 2017, 18, somewhere in there.
Yeah, it was Visceral.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. And Sumo Digital.
Okay. Yeah. And they're still around. But yeah. So anyway, Dead Space appears to be coming back. And whether that's a reboot, a remake, or a sequel, I guess is yet to be known, at least as of the time of this recording.
Yeah.
Maybe by the time it goes up, it'll be known, but right now it's not. But what other EA games, Brandon, are there any that you can think of immediately that you're like, I wish that had been the game that was going to come back?
So something that came to my mind initially that I...
Madden 2011. Yeah,
right. EA made Fallen Order, right?
Correct. Yeah, last 2 years ago.
So on that vein...
Well, Respawn made it, but EA published it.
Right.
Yeah.
What I was thinking, something that has always slightly intrigued me and I wanted to push me into the Star Wars stratosphere, mm-hmm. was 1313. Do you know about this Boba Fett game?
Oh, yeah.
Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
So, obviously, not a ton of information about this game. The one person, I can't remember off the top of my head, was supposed to be working on it.
Amy Hennig.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of got canned.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm thinking... some decent success, you know, not that it's going to happen because we know what it is at this point. It's Dead Space. But the first thing that came to my mind was that some minor success, well, not minor, some major success with Fallen Order.
Yeah.
They already got Star Wars in on something.
Yeah.
Why not? People wanted that 1313 game.
Well, and people have said that some of the functionality of 1313 got put into other games.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's good. But, you know.
It's not the same.
It's not the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry that story was kind of, there was like, when I looked at the article earlier,
yeah,
when I put the news together, there wasn't anything. But just now when I reloaded the page, it said update.
It was like, update.
Like a little, another news story. Yeah, so.
Damn.
So it looks like we're getting Dead Space in some form or another. Dead Space is a series that my buddy, funnily enough, named Brandon, was always very into and like always tried to get me to play. And it wasn't that I didn't want to play it. It was just that there was so much else that I was like, I'll get to that eventually. Right. Maybe I will still will someday.
Yeah.
But I think this is kind of like, it's like a Mass Effect for me that it's a game that I never got into before. And now I'm just like, well, now I have to.
Yeah.
You know, it's out there.
How much do you want to bet it's going to be remaster trilogy? Wasn't there three of those?
I think there were three of them.
Dead Space 1, 2, and 3.
And I would say that there will probably be a remaster to get the hype up, and then they'll put out another new one. That seems to be the formula,
dude,
lately. And it's a smart formula.
Mass Effect just came out.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, they are working on another Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
That you're right. That does seem to be the formula.
Yeah.
Put out the trilogy, get the hype up.
Yeah.
Push out the next one.
It's a good formula.
Yeah, I would like to go back and try it at some point. I can at this point.
Right.
I don't have a PC, and I'm not playing an old-ass game. Sorry.
Yeah.
But Space Horror sounds awesome. What was the one from Bethesda? Prey? I never got a chance to try Prey.
Well, that's not that old. You still could.
But that game intrigued me for the theme, and so I think because of that reason, Dead Space would intrigue me as well.
Yes. So I think there was a lot of comparisons and contrasting, to be fair, between Dead Space and Prey.
Yeah.
That's really all the news we have.
Damn, dude.
I mean, there were a couple other small minor things this week. I know that some people are going to ask us, why didn't you talk about the blue box thing? And you and I were talking about this before the show. Yeah. It's because we don't know what the hell is going on.
Yeah,
I mean, we know the storyline and how everything has gone, but whether, I mean, just the most recent thing was that, and maybe by the time this comes out, there'll be more, but the most recent thing was the guy who says he is Hassan, who is developing the game, came out and did like a video, which a lot of people are taking like, oh, it's that's settled. It's definitely that guy.
It's a deepfake.
As if
it's
nobody's ever faked that they were somebody else or put out a video or whatever before. As if Cameo doesn't exist, you know, that kind of thing. But that's really the reason we're not talking about it, is because all we would be doing is speculating. And this story is moving so rapidly at this point that
I feel like
it's dated material.
This early,
it's
a little bit conspiracy for me.
Yeah.
Not to say that it's not fun.
What I would say is if this is Kojima or something related,
dude's a G.
It'd be the greatest troll in the universe.
He is a G.
Yeah.
Legitimately, he is awesome.
Yeah.
But
Brandon, I bought Ratchet and Clank.
Yes, sir.
And then I installed it, and then I sent my PS5 back for the second time. So I have not played it.
Oh, no.
And I am very sad about that. But you have finished it.
I did.
And I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, man.
A little bit. I don't want you to... Don't, Brandon, I know how you like spoilers. Don't spoil me.
Oh, no. Heavens, no.
I'm kidding. You hate spoilers.
Yeah. Oh, man. This game was so fun. I said it earlier, and I don't want to solidify it, but I'm going to say it now. I think it might be my favorite PS5 game that I played so far.
Nice.
Not that there's been dozens and dozens that I own, but... This was the most fun I've had on my new console, period.
Yeah.
I said it last week, and I recently re-downloaded the Ratchet & Clank 2016 since the 60 frames a second update, and have seen what great strides the series has come from, even in, you know, 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, it's so easy to have fun in that game.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It works well. It looks great. It's entertaining. You know, it's got the big budget look.
It's cute. It's funny.
It's cute. It's funny. You know, some of the things make me roll my eyes, but that's the whole point, you know? And
it's not meant to be gritty and adult.
It is quality.
Yeah.
I have no other way to describe it better than this is a quality game.
Yeah.
And I think that anyone who's even slightly interested in it that has a PS5 will greatly benefit from having played it. Just so fun. The platinum was rather easy, and I almost got it naturally. It only took me a little over one playthrough, and
is it a new game plus platinum, or
you don't have to play two games?
Okay.
If you do something right the first playthrough.
Okay.
I did not.
Okay.
But we can talk about that after the show if you're interested. Yeah. If you ever get your PS5 back.
Yeah. I don't want my PS5 back. I want a new one.
Yeah. But no, man, I just... So fun, dude. I want to go back to the beginning and replay it again.
Yeah.
And not many games make me feel this way, but Sony First Party, God of War made me feel that way.
Yeah.
As soon as I platinumed it, I had literally nothing to do left in the game.
Right.
And I wanted to, like, literally wipe and start over. You know what I mean? Like, that's how fun this game was. Like, I was not fatigued a single time playing it. I saw some complaints about enemy variety towards the end of the game, but I didn't feel that way whatsoever. I mean, I don't really have any big critiques about this game whatsoever.
I mean, that's good.
And I love that.
Right.
I feel like I would pay another $70 to play it again.
Wow.
And I do not say that. I don't think I probably ever said that about
it. You're a millionaire, so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah. But no, man. Just boatloads of fun and gorgeous.
Nice.
Runs like an absolute fucking champ. The ray tracing is great. And yeah, nothing but good things to say about that. Bravo.
I saw a lot of people saying, that's great to hear. I'm very excited to play it, but my kids are very excited to watch me play it.
Yeah.
But I heard a lot of people saying, like, oh, I don't see any reason this game couldn't run on PS4. How do you feel about that? I mean, you mentioned the ray tracing and stuff. Obviously, that's going to not be doable.
I think that someone who says that needs to go back and play 2016.
Okay.
And then go back and play the other one again.
Yeah.
And just thank it for a little bit.
Right.
I'm sure it could run on PS4. I'm not saying that it could not. And they would make it work. And it would work at 60 frames a second, I'm sure. Because their old game could. But
it could, but not at launch. Like, the, it was years later. Right. 5 years later.
Right. But I think that this is a game that doesn't need to be diluted in any way. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Right.
I think that having it in its purest form made for this console is the way it was intended to be consumed.
Right.
And I think there's something to be said for that, even as we've talked about earlier with the last gen games being phased out. Just play it on the new console and just feel it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's something about the craftsmanship there, I feel like, when it's in, this is how it's intended to be viewed.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand why that'd be upsetting, especially with how many people have a PS4. But man, if you want a PS5, you'll get one eventually,
right.
I'm sure. And it'll be worth the wait.
Right. And it'll probably be cheaper.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw for Prime Day that Returnal was already down to $50, and I hated it because I bought it release day. And still haven't got to play it, and it's already $20 off.
Yeah, but at least, I'm going to gatekeep you, at least you did not pay $70 for Avengers.
No, I paid $60.
But I paid $10 more dollars. Yeah,
you paid to play the worst game of last year early.
I paid PS5 prices to pay a fucking 360 quality
game. And you don't even have the disc to show for it.
Did I buy it digitally? Yeah, that sounds
You bought
right.
it digitally because you bought it early, so you could play early.
Yeah. I'm such an idiot.
Yeah.
Such a dunce. FOMO.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
I've been very busy the last week. I've only been playing Destiny, which I know you've also been playing.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have much more to say about it other than that I'm now raid ready.
Yeah, dude.
I'm very excited.
Dude, the vault. The fucking vault.
I'm ready to go.
Literally, if the vault was not back in Destiny 2, I would never have picked it back up.
Well, me either. And I never played the vault. It was because I wanted to do the vault.
And all of the Bungie devs listening right now, because I know you're listening. So many of them probably do.
All of them, actually.
I know there's been some buzz, I don't know if they've said officially, about rotating in different old strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Put Crota's End in.
Oh.
Please. That is the best raid you have ever released. Please, please, please. Thank you.
You've played some of the dungeons, right?
Yes.
I've only
one
done
of
the,
them.
I've only done the one dungeon. Is it Prophecy?
I've done the one with the light and dark modes.
That's the one I've done.
That is the only, and I have not finished it. It's very, it's pretty hard.
I've done it twice now.
Yeah.
Not to gatekeep you.
Oh, but damn, dude.
I wouldn't have been able to do it on my own, though, for sure.
Yeah, but no.
No, I've done it twice now, and I really, really enjoyed it. I've said this before, but I've never done a raid in Destiny. And if that's any kind of indication of what's to come.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I want to say one thing about raids. They are some of the most frustrating moments I've ever had in video games, paired with some of the best moments I've ever had in video games. Nice. And that is such a strange contrast to have.
Yeah.
But when raids work right in Destiny, they're just fucking so cool to just feel like King Dick when you finally beat that after you've been trying for 6 to 8 hours.
The thing I was thinking about when I was playing the dungeon for the first time, and there's that cool area with like all the ribbons and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you've played it, you'll know what we're talking about. But like, that's a really cool area, and like the Tron looking lights and everything where you're going down the hallways. Those two things specifically, there are other parts in the raid, but those two things specifically, I was thinking like, what percentage of Destiny players play the dungeons and the raids? Because I feel like, I mean, it's cool to know that you're like, you know, not in the majority, you're definitely in the minority of players, but like, how many people never get to experience some of the what I think are the coolest visuals and moments in that game?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot of people.
And I think that even Destiny a lot of times tends to cater more to people that play more
the hardcore.
Yeah, which is good if you're them.
Sure.
If you want Destiny to be your only game.
Right.
But I'd say that's
like
not
a freaking career, man.
I know. Yeah, that's I feel like I know so little about Destiny 2.
Yeah.
Right now, when I log in and I've played for multiple hundreds, 300, 400 hours.
Right.
So it's so strange feeling that way. Yeah. And I think if I had played WoW before, something like that, I might be able to empathize with that sort of feeling.
Right.
But this is the first long form running game that's a service
right.
that I've ever been invested in
yeah.
for so many hours.
Right.
So it's definitely a weird dynamic, man.
Yeah.
Very weird. Now that it's free too, it just like,
yeah.
God, I paid so much fucking money for your games.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's life.
The only other thing to really talk about, I've still been playing Sea of Thieves. And
what is that? Tell me about it. Please don't.
Yeah. Well, Brandon, I don't know if you ever, the new update, the Pirate's Life, the Pirates of the Caribbean tie-in is out today.
Can you get the tentacle beard?
I don't think I saw it in the store.
Dude, I would, if you could look like Davy Jones, that would be elite.
Yeah.
That would be fucking elite.
Yeah. But I have not got to play it. I downloaded the patch today. I booted it up and tried to buy the Plunder Pass, but for whatever reason, I couldn't get the Microsoft Store to connect. So as soon as I do, I'll buy the Plunder Pass. Kind of like a battle pass for those who don't know. And I'm going, as soon as we're done with the show, to go play it with some buddies.
Yeah, dude. It's
and hang out with Jack Sparrow.
Get some fucking booty.
Yeah. So that is what's next on my agenda.
Dude, that sounds great.
Yeah.
Sounds fucking great.
That's all I got, dude.
Yeah, me too, man.
All right. Well, thanks for listening. Brandon, thanks for being here.
Yeah, man. Thanks for chilling.
Maybe we don't need Phil or Dave, either one.
Yeah, know? Hey. If they want to show up, they can show up. Dave, whatever. You're tasting cake. Okay.
You cake eater. as for the rest of you, thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you want ad-free early access to the show, head over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. Or you know what? If you want to keep listening on the free feeds, get it 2 days late and listen to ads, but you also want to give us $1 a month, we'll still appreciate it.
Hell yeah.
We'll still give you free hugs.
Yeah.
But not really. And hang out in the Discord. That's totally free to join. You get a special badge if you're a patron in the Discord, or a special color on your name or something like that. But you can come hang out and talk.
Yeah.
And there's people from all walks of life, enjoy all different things. Just come say hey. And I think that's about it. We'll see you next week. Bye.
See you then.
The HP Podcast and HandsomePhantom.com are supported by our proud patrons over at Patreon. If you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following members are producers of the show and are at the $5 level: Adaholic, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Fusebro, Boots, Ali C83, Poot, Jared, Felix Check, Josh Cummings, Edward Walton, Stewie108, Charles Peterson, Toby Ryland, Straw Hat Ninja, Josh DeBerry, Michael J. Sutherland, Jared Cavaliero, and Jason Canham.
Thanks to State Farm for supporting this show and helping our listeners protect their businesses and lives. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.